Hi, I'm Daniel, founder of Pretty Litter. Did you know cats tend to hide symptoms of sickness and pain? I learned this the hard way after losing my cat, Gingy. So I created Pretty Litter, a health monitoring litter that helps detect early signs of illness by changing colors, saving you money and potentially your cat's life. Pretty Litter is veterinarian developed, and it's the easiest way to keep tabs on your fur baby's health right at home.
Go to prettylitter.com and use code SPOTIFY for 20% off your first order and a free cat toy. Terms and conditions apply. See site for details.
What's up and welcome back to the last Kind of Funny Games cast of this blessed year, 2021. Ever. As always, I'm Tim Geddes, joined by the Nitro Rifle, Andy Cortez.
There's no more video games, Tim.
They're over. Yeah. Oh, no. That's so sad. How does that make you feel, Mr. 30 Under 30, blessing out of Yoya Jr.?
It makes me sad, man, because I was looking forward to video games happening in February, but apparently they're over now, so I guess we're packing it up. Go home, everybody.
Hate to burst and bust your bubble, bless.
Every year on Gamescast at the beginning of the year, we usually have an episode with like a host, and that host ends up leaving. Who's that going to be next year? We're like a month away now. Oh, it's going to be Tim?
Taking a year off.
It's going to be me. It's going to be me. No. I'm over. This whole thing, Andy, brings up a good point. There's no games to talk about. I'm not here. I don't want to do it. You know, if we're going to celebrate the end of video games, there's only one man that can bring the right level of hype. And that man, of course, is the one and only Snowbike Mike.
Hey, thanks, Tim. And if video games are done tomorrow, guess what? I'm happy I ended with the Metal Gear Solid franchise. Some say 10 out of 10 video games is blessing, and I would say, you know, 10 out of 10s.
10 out of 10. It's hard to rank 4 10 out of 10 video games. Soon to be 5 10 out of 10 video games once you play the next one.
God, I'm so excited. We're going to talk about that a little bit later in the show, of course. This is the Kind of Funny Games cast, where every single week, right here on youtube.com/kindoffunnygames, we get together to talk about video games and all the things that we love about them. You can get it on YouTube or roosterteeth.com, but you could also get it as a podcast by searching your favorite podcast service for Kind of Funny Games cast, and we'll be right there for you. If you wanted to get the show ad free, if you want to watch live as we're recording it, and if you want the exclusive post show, you got to go to patreon.com/kindoffunnygames. Just like, who do we got here? Pranksy, Tyler Ross, Delaney Twinning, Julian the Gluten Free Gamer, Alex J. Sandoval, James Hastings, Casey Andrew, and Greg Miller returns to content next month. Nick should quit now. You are the best around. If you don't have money to toss away, that's fine. You can use the Epic creator code Kind of Funny on all Epic Store and Epic in-game purchases like Rocket League and Fortnite to help support Kind of Funny. Final Fantasy VII Remake is coming out this Friday on Epic Game Store. So, hey, if you're gonna buy it there, use our code Kind of Funny. And then come over to twitch.tv/kindoffunnygames. Randy Cortez is going to play it on PC for the first time.
That's so exciting. Nothing better than replaying an old game that you played already, like with a fresh coat of paint, Tim.
I hope that every ray will be traced in your honor, Andy. Mm-hmm. Let's see.
I don't even know if it has ray tracing.
I don't even know if it
does DLSS.
Either.
Yeah,
it'll have something for sure.
Shout out to Ray J.
Yeah, shout out to Ray J. Today we're brought to you by Upstart Native and Green Chef. I wish there was a better transition there, Bless, just for
there
you.
Isn't.
Fuck it. Let's give a shout out to Raycon as well. Why not?
Oh, you know what I mean?
They're not sponsoring us today, but who cares?
Tim, do you not know the joke that ray tracing was made by Ray?
No, he was there.
Oh, yeah.
Oh, okay. All right.
Yeah. There's layers to this shit, but it's all good. Layers to this show as well. We're going to talk about a whole bunch of things. The main big topic of the day is going to be Blessing's Game Award Adventures. We sent him down there. I can't wait to hear all about it. We're also going to take a look back at our predictions of all the award winners and who out of the three of us, Andy, Bless, and me, won. Who got the most right? Who got the most wrong? We'll have to wait and find out, because I want to talk about some games first with these beautiful boys. Andy Cortez, some new Halo playlists dropped. Tell me all about them.
Yeah, we got new Halo playlists ahead of schedule. They kind of went into overdrive and understood a lot of the issues that people were having with multiplayer. I don't think everything is fixed yet, but I am super thankful that the 343 team is seemingly, you know, working their asses off and still trying to put new content out there. New playlist dropped. One of the biggest issues, Tim, is everybody loves getting these challenges. Everybody loves trying to achieve and get these challenges done so that they could rank up in their battle pass and unlock more gear. And one of the bigger problems is that you might have a challenge that says, you know, kill this many people in Slayer. And the unfortunate thing is that you would play your little playlist and you may not get a Slayer game for about 7 games or 8 games in my case the other day when we played Rank with Snowbike Mike and the crew. And that was not a great experience. So there is now a social Slayer playlist where you just get all Slayer matches on different sort of maps. So you can get that Slayer experience if you prefer that. They also added Tactical Slayer, which is SWAT, which we know as SWAT.
Why don't they just call it SWAT?
I got to say, in legal terms, Tim.
Splitgate owns it now.
My problem with it is I think Splitgate does SWAT better, and I did not expect to feel that way. I loved SWAT back in the day, and man, it was a camp fest. Me and Mike played a bit of it yesterday, and it straight up became just, I was playing Valorant. I was playing like a Rainbow Six Siege shooter where your people are just camping on opposite ends, trying to peek corners, and you see a little tiny head pop up, and you don't even see a pixel of them, Tim. They're just peeking at the right corner. It became very stale very fast, and I hope that there are newer maps added in the future that can kind of enhance the experience to make it more fast-paced. The thing about Splitgate with SWAT, Tim, it's like you're flying across all these portals and getting mid-air headshots. It's a much funner time, in my opinion. They also added...
Can you explain what SWAT is, in case people might not know? Because I know a lot of people are new to right. Halo multiplayer with this one.
SWAT is a type of Slayer mode where it's all kills. You start off with a battle rifle. There are no shields, and there's no radar. No shields meaning you get one headshot, the person's dead. There are no... There's no real long time to kill. The TTK isn't there. It's just one headshot, they're done for. And it's a game mode that a lot of us really adore, and it just kind of felt a little stale and slow playing it yesterday, unfortunately. Mike had a not so great experience on one of the bigger maps. Mike, do you want to talk about that?
Yeah, I'll talk about that. I think that comes down to maps, and I think that's one of the big frustrations that we see with Halo Infinite multiplayer. There is only 10 maps. 5 of them are truly dedicated to the smaller size. 2 of them are just in random limbo. And then the 3 are for the big team battles. And I think really what's going on is there's a lot of game modes that they're trying that don't fit the map well. And for us, when you're playing SWAT, you want a smaller map, something that encourages people to move and kind of run around and have some fun with it. We got stuck on Behemoth into launch sites, into Bazaar, and all of a sudden, it was just too big, right? That's not how these game modes are supposed to be. And also, Launch Site and Bazaar, it's just a weird map.
Truly the black sheep of the family, Mike.
Yeah, they don't know what they're doing with these two maps. They're not built for 4v4. They're just a little too big for that kind of gameplay. And they're too small for 12v12. And there's just lost here.
Are one of those the big, like, capture the flag? There's 2 launchers on each side of the like,
yes. So you're thinking of Behemoth, the big Behemoth sand map. Yep.
No, Behemoth is the one with the sand. The other one you're thinking of, Bless, I think has the more forest sort of type looking one.
Yeah, it's one like it has a structure built kind of in the middle on the way to the other flag. And then you can either go under or you can launch yourself to the sides and then launch yourself again.
I think he's looking
He's right with you, Mike. Yeah, he's right
with
Mike.
He's thinking of Behemoth. Yeah, it's just, I think it comes down to maps, and a lot of these game modes don't fit the map blend well. Tactical SWAT is definitely meant for more of the 4v4 maps. If you put us on Aquarius, that would have been a great one. If you put us on Recharge, that would have been a great one. Livefire, those are the maps that you want to see, but then the issue becomes, now there's only 3 maps that fit this game mode, and you're going to play them over and over again. And so this team right now at 343 really has a big balancing act and a juggling act, in my opinion, too. Try to figure out how they implement new game modes and keep things fresh and fun and also find a good balance. But at the same time, we only have 10 maps and only a few of them are truly being played. And so when is the next step? What do they do? And it is pretty interesting to see the frustrations come out of me when I thought this would be the one to really elevate the gameplay there.
Mike, it also didn't help that your KD wasn't great. I don't want to call you out, Mike, but I need you to step it up a little tiny bit.
My KD was not strong is right, guys, and that's an issue. But I am having a ton of fun. I don't want to say a ton of fun because I am hitting the mode where I've played all these maps too many times, and I am looking for something more. But, you know, ranked keeps me coming back, which is good, and big team keeps me coming back. I think they need to add some more game modes like One Bomb Assault. I think they need to put in Fiesta or Infection into one of the here's a week-long game mode, right? I know they're not trying to overdo it, but also there are some really tried and true formulas that they have not put in, which is surprising to think about.
Yeah, yeah, I ended up looking up Behemoth and Launch Site, and yeah, those are the two that I'm right there with you when you talk about those as the black sheep, right? I do not like those maps at all. And it's that exact thing of those maps are too big. And then even for, I believe Launch Site is the one that has one capture, right? Where it is one flag and you take turns to try and capture that one flag, which feels like it belongs a little bit more in Overwatch than in Halo. Or at least I wish it was better implemented in Halo, because like playing it on that map just isn't fun. And I've not hit a wall with Halo Infinite, but I think I've hit the point where I'm not as addicted to it anymore. I still plan to go back to it. I just started campaign for the first time this last week, and I enjoyed the couple hours that I put into campaign already. But I think from what I played a campaign so far, I think I do prefer the multiplayer. And with the multiplayer, I think I have hit my wall in terms of I need more content for this thing. I'm excited that they added back in Fiesta and the other modes. And I think I am going to go back, one, to try out SWAT, and then also to play Fiesta again, because Fiesta, I think, is just a fantastic time. That has been my favorite mode in multiplayer so far. But yeah, like I'm with you that I want them to start adding things in a faster cadence. I think specifically maps is what the game needs right now.
I just want to say, Jesus brought Moose in. He just got a haircut, and they gave him a little bow tie.
Oh my god.
That dog looks good.
You know, audio listeners, you don't know what you're missing out on right now.
Yeah, that's a good-looking dog.
That's Cease's thing, though. He can have a formal tie.
No, I like the tie. My gosh, Launch Site. I cannot hate this map enough, Mike. There was a night where, because of people's frustrations trying to level up their battle pass and how shallow the battle pass already is, the amount of time I was just wanting to play for fun. I didn't really have a reason to level up. I just kind of wanted to hop in. I didn't have a big goal in mind necessarily, but I spawned into three straight games of one capture on Launch Site, because when other people quit, you usually sort of fill that void. And there were three straight games where I'm starting in a game that's already begun, that's already 30 seconds in or two rounds in or a round in. And it was one of the most frustrating things ever in Halo so far, multiplayer, where nobody wants to play this mode. Nobody wants to play this map. Nobody wants to play this mode on this map, more importantly. And I just kept on spawning into the games that were already going. And it was kind of unfortunate. But I mean, you got to give it a 343. I do think that they are working diligently to try to fix a lot of these issues, in hopes to keep the player base happy. And I think right now they are needing to, right now we kind of see them prioritizing certain issues. And right now I think the battle pass and the monetization and the shop are kind of the bigger things that they are targeting to make that a better experience. They already, in some ways, put a Band-Aid on getting XP and making that a more favorable experience. So that's great. Now it's just more of, let's see the content start to roll out a bit more. Let's start to see. I want shoddy snipers. I love that mode. I want to see. There's apparently a new Slayer mode that has already been data mined. That is
elimination.
Elimination, where your whole team has a set number of lives.
Oh, I love that.
And it runs out. And
y'all don't want me to play with you then.
I love that.
If your team has a set number of lives and then you're done for, if you die, then you're out for a good, you know, and then the rest of your team kind of has to pick up the slack. I love modes like that. I love sort of that added amount of tension. So I hope to continue seeing, you know, more and more additions to Halo multiplayer, because I still love it. I still hop in every night. It's one reason why I haven't been playing the campaign, because I got an hour and a half. Do I really want to? Is that really enough to start a campaign, to put time into a campaign? I could just play a couple multiplayer matches and be done with it.
Yeah, I'm glad that you're saying all that. And I totally agree. I think there's a bigger discussion to be had about these multiplayer games. And when we have the discussion of content, and really when it comes down to is maps, because that's what you're playing the most of. And when you look back on, you know, the life cycle of this has been 6 years in the making. And yeah, they haven't done all 6 years just for development, but 6 years and only 10 maps, and five of them are truly arena maps, right? That's a big question there. And usually games of this kind of caliber will kind of put a Band-Aid on that situation and put on like older remastered maps, right? To be like, hey, here's five maps to add to that 10, but like they're old maps. And you kind of like, I don't like that, but like, I like that, you know? Here, it's like, man, was 10 maps enough? And in my opinion, it was not. And so it is interesting. That's a bigger discussion one day to have of like, what do you need to launch with in 2021 content wise to keep the player base here? Because we're almost heading into week number 5 of Halo Infinite since the multiplayer dropped early. And I think it's run its course now of content, and we need to see more of it pretty quick here.
That's really surprising to me you say that, because 10 maps sounds like a sizable amount for any game, but specifically a Halo game. That seems right in range. And I get that 2021 is a difference from 2001, but how many more do you think you would kind of want to fit into that?
I think you need to add 5 as soon as possible. I would think you would need at least 1 big team map and then anywhere from 3 to 4 smaller arena maps. And if they are remasters of old maps, you think of some of the classic ones that you love, Midship, Lockout, Beaver Creek, and beyond, right? I think you could really answer quickly and add those in and kind of just keep the content flowing here. But in all honesty, when you say 10, you think it's a large number, but really when I break it down for you like I did, it's only 5 arena maps. And there's 2 in the middle that we don't know what they're doing because
they don't know what to do with it.
Right. Yeah, they don't even know what they're doing with it. It's not I don't know what they're doing. It's they seem to not know what they're doing with it. And then there's 3 big team maps. And so you only have 5 that you're actually playing in rotation unless you go to big team, and that's only 3. And then there's 2 in the middle that just don't feel right. You know,
what's the one with the big kind of gunner in the middle, Mike, that goes off whenever you do that's like probably
that's
my least
map.
That's my least favorite. But it is kind of one of those mid-sized ones, in my opinion. It does kind of feel like one of those mid-sized maps that doesn't really have a footing or a place in the game. And I gotta hope and assume that they are aware of that, because they've got analytics and data on all of these, and they've got to see which are the maps that people are quitting the most on and the modes that people are quitting the most on. And you got to assume it's that one with the big gunner and launch site. I just don't think they fit this mode. Perhaps we do like a 6v6 sort of thing in a similar way where when Fortnite would sometimes do its limited time games where it's a 20v20v20 or whatever. I could see a time where they release a 6v6 Slayer mode on one of those sort of mid-sized maps where it isn't a 4v4 and you're sort of spread out, but it's also not trying to pack in 12v12 in such a tight area.
Yeah,
very, very interesting stuff.
Still loving it, though.
Speaking of Fortnite, though, moving on to that, Andy, you played a little bit of the new chapter?
I played a tiny bit, not as much as Mike and Kevin, so I don't have a whole lot to say on it other than I really dig the map. I feel like not only it sort of reminds me of Halo, where we start playing the multiplayer, where we go, man, this feels like an old school Halo game. And then sort of seeing the echoes of everybody else on social media saying, God damn, this reminds me of season 1 of Fortnite. This reminds me of the old school, like season 1 episode or chapter, or whatever the hell they're calling it. Chapter 4, chapter 3, those sort of moments where all of us were really, really getting into the Fortnite meta. It feels really good to play. I love the added ADS, Mike. I think that's like, it feels great. The slide has been added, Tim. You can slide in the game now. You're not just kind of running around and jump in. The slide maneuver feels really good to do. I don't know if I'm going to stick with it. I think maybe if Kevin and Joey need a fourth or a third or whatever, I'm down to hop in now. But I feel a lot more willing to play Fortnite than I did in the past. And I think a lot of it is due to the map, the mechanics. I'd say that's about it. It seems really exciting to be in right now. Spider-Man seems great. Mike, have you used Spider-Man yet?
I've used the Spider Gauntlets, and I really, really love what they added with that. It just seems like a half second to a millisecond too slow on when you try to click the trigger and actually use it. It seems like you click it, and then you wait a second, and then he shoots it. I'd like that to be a little sped up. But yeah, Andy, you're so right. I'm having a lot of fun returning to Fortnite. I like that we have a new map, right? And what I really enjoy as a former Fortnite player, now doesn't play Fortnite but wants to jump back in, I love what they've done. And I know we've had this discussion before about adding bots into the game and having real players mixed with that and making sure your MMR is at the correct level, right? When I play with Joey and Kevin and the Kind of Funny crew here, it feels right, right? Like, I like the mix of what we're feeling, like people on my level, people just a little above my level, and then there's bots mixed in between that makes you feel good, get some engagements under your belt, and gets you kind of steamrolling into the final circle. When I play with my friends, though, it is a different story. We are playing against kids that are cracked out of their minds, and it's demoralizing, right? It's like, oh, wow, this is what Fortnite can be, should be, right? Because that's what it looks like at the high level. But it beats you down where you're like, I don't want to play that. But I think they've done a really good job as opposed to Call of Duty, right? On the flip side, when you jump into the Warzone, there is no really like kind of skill gap there where you can truly feel two different lobbies. When you jump into Warzone, you're playing with the ultimate sweats and you're either going to battle it or you're going to lose, right? And then on the flip side, Fortnite has done a great job of like, hey, if you're not played in months, years, jump in. You're going to find people of very similar skill and you're going to have some fun, win or lose. And so I got to give it to Fortnite of like really being welcoming in a situation like that where this game has gone on for years and there is truly the diehards and there's people that just jump in as casuals. And that's what I really like about it the most right now.
Kev, can you pop on a little mini Kev there? Give your thoughts on playing some Fortnite.
I had taken a break from playing last season. It was the last chapter of it. And I played maybe like just a couple days and stopped. It felt stale and old. They added a bunch of like features that had compiled on top of each other. It wasn't doing it for us. And then this season came around and man, like changing up the map to the extent that they have, because they always change up just a couple areas, but now it almost feels like an entirely different map. And I guess it's like the flip side of it. So there's some areas that kind of make sense or are similar to the areas we've seen before. It's just been a lot of fun. I like all the stuff they've added. The aim down sights is not very popular with anyone that I play with, but like I personally like it because it gives me an in-between. I'm not using a sniper where that's way closer, really slow shots, but the aim down sights gun that we have is a cool way to be like, hey, that person's like 30 feet away. I can aim down sights and like kind of hold into the right place to actually do some damage without needing the time the sniper takes. So that's been a really fun thing. Also, the like Mike was saying, the sliding traversal addition has been phenomenal. It like makes things way smoother and quicker, and like that's hopefully something that stays along. They also added some crate like the tents, which we haven't really used, but like there's a lot of potential there if you're just a little bit better than we are in like planning. Because what you can do with these tents is you can grab a tent, make it yours, and then put stuff in it and then close it. And if you die in the next game, you claim a tent, it'll have the stuff that you put in there already, which is really cool. And if you've got a lot of really good gear and time to prep it, can be really, really helpful. But like we're still moment to moment right now. And me and Joey have definitely gotten back in. It's not every night, but it's like every 2 to 3 nights or 2 to 3 nights a week. And like we're playing for several hours and we've been playing on stream as well a couple times. And that's been incredibly fun. Remember, use code Epic. What is it?
Kind of funny. Kind of funny.
Which is surreal to put in our own branding on that code.
I'm terrified to see what the really good lobbies look like with the sliding mechanic added to crazy building abilities, but having that added in's got to be a goddamn nightmare.
The real problem is like when you get really high level, like because two chapters ago, we got to like I think Joey was like level 140 and I was like level 130 and it maxed out at 160 or something. Because we were playing a lot, and when you get like that high level, like it really suddenly becomes about the building and everyone you're fighting at the end. Like, because right now it's hit or miss whether the last three people or three groups up there are going to be builders. But once it starts getting like more narrowed down and you're not fighting with a bunch of people that had just started for the first time or have, you know, are jumping in for the season and don't really know the mechanics super well, the building just gets insane. Like we've already had instances where we're like or
you just turn off the computer.
We're just like, well, there's nothing I can do. Yeah. Every once in a while, we'll have a Lauren come help us, and she's a great builder. So like, she can hold it down for a minute. We just stand there and watch.
I love that you SMGs all
and just take down the other buildings, and like, we're scared.
I love that y'all have played for this long, and like, there hasn't been a whole lot of development in your skills building.
Exactly, we're trying to build.
We've gotten a lot better at shooting, though. You
know? They got Baby a builder. Steps. They found
yeah.
one.
Yeah, exactly. yeah, so like, it's interesting because we. Maybe 2 days ago, Joey and I, maybe it was yesterday, Joey and I were playing a game, and it was duos, me and her, and one other dude. And he had fucking Spider-Man arms or whatever, like the gauntlets. And that son of a bitch was swinging around. It was just like, oh man, I wish we could build. We can't. Nope. So we just had to like, he just took us, like picked us off one at a time. It sucked. God. Yeah, we tried our hardest. He was so fast. So yeah, like the movement mechanics do really come into play, like especially when you're down there to last like couple people.
just take some extra time, faster. You know? Crank them soggy 90s, you know?
I see 90s. Mike do it sometimes. He's just mashing buttons.
Yeah, I'm mashing buttons.
You guys that builder pro.
Making it look good, though.
Shout out to Fortnite for really growing and evolving over the years, right? Like, you think back, it's just like, man, they've done a lot to that game. And the cool part is, if you don't play it much, jumping in and seeing all the different characters, skins, and emotes, it's like, it's truly a wow factor to be like, oh man, that's Deadpool next to Superman. There's Spider-Man. I'm Master Chief over here. Like, this is crazy right now. And it's a fun time.
And it's also obvious that they don't always 100% nail it. But I love a good underdog story, you know, Epic. They're just such a small company. To see them on the upswing is great. No, but I do like that every once in a while a game will do so poorly in terms of user engagement and in terms of approval from the regular players that are always on there every night. And you start to see that fall off, and you start to see people grow, their frustrations grow. And then to kind of understand, listen to feedback, and change things around. Like, they're not always going to nail it with what they add to the game. I know people didn't always love the mech that they added a couple of seasons ago, or the airplanes. Like, there's always wacky shit that they're trying out. But I do like that they will listen to feedback and try to adjust things in the game in order to make the player base happy. And it seems like right now, this is one of those times where a lot of the regulars that had fallen off over the years are kind of finally starting to trickle back in and say, oh, shit, this is actually fun again. This feels like the old days. So it's pretty neat.
Andy, yeah. I've been reading a lot about Unreal Engine 5 that Fortnite is making the switch. Has that happened with this, or is that still down the line?
I thought it made the switch already.
Has that affected your experience at all?
I don't know. I can't really say, honestly. It looks the same to me. I haven't seen a whole lot of differences. But I'm also, the game for some reason runs like garbage on my machine. And I don't know why. Like, I have DLSS all the way on. Yeah, on my PC. It makes no sense. Because like, every other game I can get, you know, plus 144 hertz and up, frames per second and up. For whatever reason, I'll get like 140 frames and I get massive drops to like noticeable hitches, to the point where it's noticeable sort of stutters here and there. And I'm not entirely sure why. I've done everything in the book in terms of updating drivers, going to certain settings. So I really need to get to the bottom of it, because it's really frustrating. And I hope to get that issue fixed.
Moving on from Fortnite, unless Kev, did you have one more thing to say?
No, I'm good.
Moving on. Bless. Damn. You are a lucky bastard. You got to play Sifu.
I did.
Oh.
I did. I got to play a preview build of Sifu. It was a very short build, but I got to play it multiple times. And so I played it through twice. And it's about a 25-minute chunk of the game in Chapter 2. It's the first half of Chapter 2. And that game seems really good. And I think that game is good. I think it's going to be something special when it eventually comes out. Right now, it's slated for February 8th. I don't even know where to start with it. You know, I think my main takeaways are how good the combat feels and how good the game looks and presents. Starting with the combat, right? Like, for people who've seen the trailer, I think it is what you see. It is what you expect. It is a beat 'em up style game, action, third person action. You're going through, you're kicking ass, you're throwing hands, you're doing all that stuff. And the animation in the combat is as good as it looks in the trailers, which isn't completely surprising because it's slow clap and they did Absolver back in 2017. And Absolver is the game that I played, right? It's a similar third-person action game, similar martial arts style, has a very stylized presentation to it as well. But I think Sifu, from what I played so far, has elevated all of those elements in Absolver. And if you remember, it was Absolver, right? It was multiplayer as well. And them switching to single player for Sifu, I think, has done so much for the game, just in terms of tightening things up and giving it the TLC that it needs to feel like something and play like something that feels like a special, like, single player action game. And so, like, when you start off in Chapter 2, you start off in the club that I believe people have seen in the trailers. You're, like, on your way walking into the club, and, like, in that path leading up, you, like, come across, like, you know, a dude who's, like, leaning outside, and he's like, they're not gonna let you in there, right? And you get to the door, and there's, like, a bouncer. You have to fight the bouncer to get in. It's like a quick fight like you would get in a beat 'em up game. But, like, from the get-go, presentation wise it was already, like, there's, like, neon signs, and, like, the way that, like, the lights shine in the alley and all this stuff just looked really good off the bat. And then you get in and that stuff continues, like, it continues to look really good, really colorful, really vibrant, just in the ways that they decide to, like, make certain colors pop, both in the lighting and in the environment itself. Looks really good. The talking about combat again for a second, right? Like, the combat system feels to me like a almost like a fighting game adjacent style combat system, where it is stringing together combos. It is, when you open up your menu, you see your control scheme, like your fighting options, similar to a fighting game, right? Where it is, here's your light combo, here's your heavy combo, here's your heavy, light, heavy combo. Here's, if you press up, down, triangle, it is like a sweep move that you can do to take down opponents. If you press up, down, square, it's like a palm hit on your opponent, right? It's like that level of control for the combat, which I really like, because that gave me options. And for a game that in its combat feels very difficult in a lot of moments, because you're dying a lot in this game, they gave you enough options to feel like it. I always felt like, oh man, I could have done something better in any moment where I died, where I was like, cool, I could have managed the space better. Oh man, I know I'm fighting five people at the same time. I need to figure out how to take one at a time and isolate them, or I need to know how to manage the room. Because, like, as well as, like, the fighting combo options you have, you also have, like, environmental stuff that you can pick up, you know, much like a Double Dragon or whatever beat 'em up game you've played. You can [S2] Cool. [S1] Pick up shit on the ground, like a staff or, like, a sword or whatever, to use to beat people's asses. Or you can, like, there's a command to, like, kick shit at people. And so, like, if you see a bottle on the ground, or if you see, like, a small stool or something, you can press right bumper and it'll just, like, kick it right toward the opponent. And, like, that stuns them. And it makes it feel like a John Wick adjacent game, except John Wick uses guns, right? And this is all your fists. Like, it feels like that, where you're kind of managing it in that way. And I just had such a good time with this demo. And one more thing I want to shout out, right, is, like, the aging system as well, which I'm sure you guys have seen in the trailers, where each time you die, you age up. And so the first time I died in the game, I died and I was already 20 years old. I aged up to 21. And then the second time I died, I aged up to 23. And then the third time, I aged up to 26. And that goes, and when I was playing, it hit all the way up to 70. And I think that was possibly the last, like, my last life. If I died at 70, I think I died for good and I had to restart the run. It's a really cool mechanic, because not only does it show on your character physically that they're getting older, it also will, in some instances, lower your health, but then raise your damage, because your character is getting older, so their body's deteriorating. But then also, I think they're getting wiser in their fighting, and, like, they just become a better fighter, so your damage goes up because of that. And so there's kind of, like, this give and take of, oh man, I gotta stay alive, but as I'm dying, I'm getting benefits at the same time. And the way I play kind of changes based on, all right, I'm old, so I need to be really careful now. Like, it's come down to the wire. I need to be really careful, but I need to make sure I choose my strikes correctly, because I can do damage. That system seemed really cool, and I can't wait to see where it goes.
Andy?
Were you able to replay the demo at all? Because I wonder how encountering, I think in that demo, there's sort of a boss character, maybe a mini boss of some sort. But I wonder how that changes what depending on age, or whether there's any, like, contextual dialogue based on what age you are. Mm-hmm. I wonder if they're going that far with it, because I do love the idea that Absolver is this fighting game that you really love, and now this is sort of their time to sort of widen that scope and say, like, let's make this game a bigger, better version of that. Like, I wonder if they do have any sort of those cool Easter eggy type moments in the game.
So I played through twice, and I got to the final boss each of those times. First time I beat the final boss. Second time I lost to the final boss, and I lost at my final age. So I got a game over there. I didn't really get any sort of like, oh, who's this 70-year-old man? Or, oh man, like, you look so old. But I did get a lot of, oh, he's back up. Like, after I die and then I do the thing where I age up and I get back up again, they're like, oh, he's, what the fuck's happening? And there was a lot of like, there was a lot of dialogue where I didn't expect dialogue to be. When I first entered in the club, one of the things that, like, there was a receptionist that was standing there, right? None of this is in cutscene. All of this is me walking around and all of it happening in real time. Where I walk in and they're like, oh, the club's closed. You can't come in here. And I'm sitting there like, all right, what do I want to do? And there's like a, on the D-pad options, they have like a dialogue thing that pops up where I can say, where's this person? Or I can like, there was like another option, I can't remember off the top. Or I can just like ignore that and start beating people's asses. And like, you know, the first time I said something and they're like, what? Like, you know, like, get out of here. And then I started fighting. And then another time I said a thing that then provoked the other person to then like start a fight with me. They didn't even start a fight with me. They told their buddies, like the other guards in the room. So like, hey, this guy's fucking around, go get him. And then I fought the guards. But I thought it was cool because like, also, not everybody in every environment is like trying to fight you. Not everybody is equipped to fight. There are times where I would enter a room and I would see a room full of people and I assumed that like one of them was going to fight me. But like there were a few people that were just there to be there. And so when I went like to try and square up with them, I like would hit punch and then they're out in like one punch because they're not there to fight. They're just at the club. And like when you get closer to somebody who's trying to fight, they'll then activate, right? It's that video game Bloodborne thing of like, oh, you're close enough, all right, like, let's square up. You have those moments that feel a little bit dynamic in that sense, and you have like a lot of good dialogue that feels like it's happening in the moment. It is linear, right? Like it is a thing where the second time I played the game, it was the exact same route and the exact same thing that happened the first time I played. And so it felt very planned in terms of the dialogue that was happening, in terms of the things that they were saying. That said, there also seem like there are moments where you can veer off the path, and like there was a locked door that I came across in my playthrough where it was locked, and I was like, all right, how do I get in there? And even my character was like, all right, this is a locked door, how do I get in? And it seems like if I searched around enough, I could find a code or a key that would get me into that door. I don't know what would have been behind that door, if it would have been a different path or it would have been a clue to add to like my character kind of has like a string, like trying to solve like who the fuck murdered my family type of shit. He has that thing. I don't know if you would have found a clue or like an upgrade or more XP in there or whatever, but it seems like there's options to kind of explore around in that sense as well.
Here's an automatic weapon. No more fighting.
Watching all the trailers, the thing that I've been most excited about is the momentum the game seems to have, and especially with the combat that you've been talking about, that kind of seems to be the core of it. But I'm interested, how is the music, and like, does it kind of like have a rhythm and vibe that's like pushing you forward? And on top of that, in between the combat moments, when you're just walking to the next combat encounter, is the in between fun, and do you kind of feel like you're constantly moving forward, or is it kind of just a standstill to get to the next fight?
So I'll start with that part. I think it's all action in terms of when you're in the levels, because I believe like you can hop out the levels and it is like this like hub, like you're in your apartment and it is, I can go and I can like upgrade, or I can go into the practice area and practice my moves, or I can jump to the next mission. When you're in the actual levels, it's very beat 'em up game where the only thing you're really doing is fighting. Like, you're either fighting or you're exploring and looking around to see what you can pick up or what you can like kind of glean from the world. But for the most part, it is fighting. In terms of the music, from the one level, the music seems like it's going to be off the chain in this game.
Hell,
that
yeah.
Said, like, it is a club level. And so, like, of course, like, the club level is going to have dope music. And, like, when I open up the room when I open up a door to go into a different room or a hallway, there are moments where it's, like, cool, I can tell that the music is, like, muted a little bit because I'm outside of the actual, like, club room. And so I'm hearing the same dope-ass music, but it's, like, there's less treble and there's more bass to it because I can only hear, like, the bass of the music now. Like, it did that stuff well enough to where I was, like, all right, this seems like even in the other levels, I assume there's going to be great music. And so, like, that's a good thing. And
diegetic sound. Mike, word of the day. Diegetic.
Diegetic, everybody. Diegetic. Write that down. Got it.
the presentation of the game reminds me a lot of Katana Zero. Even though Katana Zero is a 2D pixel art action
game.
What a game. And it's a dope-ass game. I think there's a level of, like you know the vibes of Katana Zero.
Flash. Yeah.
It's like flashy. There's like a lot of neon colors. It's stylistic. The music is dope as hell. And like, I'm sure that game as well has moments where you walk into a room and like the music is like, oh, the treble falls out and it's like all bass because of where you are. I got a lot of those vibes out of Sifu, which is the best thing I can say about it.
Hell yeah, man. I can't wait.
Katana Zero. Yeah. No,
like, I was already sold, but you got me like looking at the calendar like, damn, February seems far away. That's awesome.
We get to be John Wick, dude.
Basically. And to answer your question too about like the flow of it, one of the things that impressed me the most was like hitting a character or character hitting me and seeing how they reacted to getting hit. Like it'd be like I do a combo and they would fall into like a wall or some shit, or they'd fall like into a couch and like their back would hit off the couch and they'd hit the ground. It seems like there's a lot of work and like a lot of TLC put into, all right, we got to have an animation for everything. Like we got to make sure that like this thing flows and it feels right. And in the moment you legitimately feel like you are Jackie Chan or you are in a martial arts movie of like, all right, cool. I got my bat, hit this guy 3 times with my bat, drop my bat, kick a bottle at somebody. Okay, there's a guy that's about to get me. Let me, you know, do my 5-hit combo on this guy. And it all feels so like, it all flows so well. It all feels like so well animated and all like, it all just works in a way that looks really good. And so I'm very impressed with it in that stance.
Speaking of being impressed, I want to ask Mike his thoughts on Metal Gear Solid. But before we get there, let me tell you about our sponsors. This episode is brought to you by Upstart. What would it feel like if you were finally free of high interest loans or credit card debt? Well, Upstart can help you make that final payment so you can get ahead. Upstart is the fast and easy way to pay off your debt with a personal loan all online. Whether you're looking to pay off credit cards, consolidate high interest debt, or fund some personal expenses, Upstart can help you get one fixed monthly payment with a clear payoff date. Rather than looking at only your credit score, Upstart considers other factors like your income, current employment, and credit history to find you a smarter rate. Find out how Upstart can lower your monthly payments today when you go to upstart.com/kindoffunny. That's upstart.com/kindoffunny. Don't forget to use our URL to let them know we sent you. Loan amounts will be determined based on your credit, income, and certain other information provided in your loan application. That's upstart.com/kindoffunny. Next up, shout out to Native. I love the smells of the season, and thanks to Native's new seasonal scents, my favorites are with me wherever I go. We're talking about deodorant, a deodorant that Gia Tap Harris uses all the time, and it smells so, so good. Native deodorant is formulated with ingredients you've actually heard of, like coconut oil and shea butter. Native deodorant never uses aluminum, parabens, or sulfates, but it still keeps you smelling amazingly fresh all day long. With classics and rotating seasonals, Native has a deodorant scent for everyone, including their new holiday-inspired collection, which includes candy cane, sugar cookie, and fresh mistletoe. So there you go. You can keep the scents of the season with you with Native's limited-time holiday-scented deodorants. Go to nativedo.com/KFGames or use promo code KFGames at checkout and get 20% off your first order. That's nativedo.com/KFGames or use promo code KFGames at checkout for 20% off your first order. nativedo.com/KFGames, promo code KFGames. And finally, shout out to Green Chef. Green Chef is America's number one meal kit for eating well with dinners that work for you, not the other way around. Green Chef's pre-made and pre-measured sauces, dressings, and spices get you more chef-curated flavor in less time. Green Chef's wide array of easy-to-follow recipes means there's something new to discover each week, so you never get bored. Plus, they make eating well easy with plans to fit every lifestyle. Whether you're keto, paleo, vegan, vegetarian, gluten-free, or just looking to eat more balanced meals, Green Chef offers a range of recipes to suit your preferences, including all of those things. And as the first ever and only keto meal kit on the market, Green Chef makes sticking to a carb-conscious lifestyle easy. This has been something that a lot of members of the team have been enjoying, including Blessing and Kevin, and it's great. Go check it out. Go to greenchef.com/kindoffunny10 and use code kindoffunny10 to get 10 free meals, including free shipping. That's 10 free meals, including free shipping at greenchef.com/kindoffunny10 and using code kindoffunny10. greenchef.com/kindoffunny10. Use code kindoffunny10. Mike, minutes ago, before we started recording the Kind of Funny Games cast, you and Barrett Courtney beat Metal Gear Solid 4 for the very first time. I just want to ask you, where's your head at?
You know,
it's
Tim,
all downhill from here, man.
I am impressed, Tim, as you said before the ad break right there. I'm truly impressed with that franchise. I had so much fun going on this ride alongside Barrett and Tam and Blessing and the gang that joined us each and every week, right? This was something that I'd only heard the name Hideo Kojima, and we talked about this before, right, of being an Xbox guy and not really ever playing Metal Gear, thinking about it. I've only heard the name, the legacy, right? And so going through one all the way through four, it has been an awesome ride. And where I am right now is I'm stunned. I'm in disbelief. I'm left wondering, just like Andy said, like, what's next, right? Where do I find that next Kojima high? Because that was awesome. That is the finale, is what it felt like, right? I know there's five and so on, but like when we break up just one through four, that felt like a great way to end the series right there. That was a great way to end the story, to give me everything that I wanted. There was awesome parts of music that gave you callbacks to different games and also really great new beats that you're going to want to love for the rest of your time playing video games. I think of all the callbacks to the different characters and the different moments within there, the showdowns that we got to see between Raiden and Vamp Part 2 that you've always wanted, right? I think you think of where we were at the beginning of 1 to 2 to 3, and then all of a sudden, here we are with Liquid Snake now inside of Ocelot's body, and like, what could he really do next? And Kojima somehow tells a story and just makes it awesome. Like, what more could they really do? Well, we found out he's controlling the system, and the system really is everything, and that's awesome to see. And I loved, my favorite part, Tim, that I keep saying is I loved that this story felt like it went around the globe. It truly felt like it was worldwide. Like, Snake had a purpose, he had a plan, and he had to go shut shit down. And it was cool to start off in the desert, then all of a sudden go to South America, then all of a sudden go to Europe, and then all of a sudden we're in Shadow Moses, and we're getting callbacks to that. Now all of a sudden we're in a whole nother location, and I really loved the globe-trotting aspect because that's something we never got in 1 through 3. So I like that Kojima really elevated this one, and it felt like a great finale. So me right now, I'm impressed, I'm stunned, and I'm a little worried of like, man, what's next? Because that might be one of the best video game franchises I've ever been a part of. And that was awesome.
So I want to know your thoughts on a couple key moments that are some of my favorite gaming memories, period. The return to Shadow Moses, the Rex versus Ray fight, the microwave scene, and that final battle, the fist fight between Liquid and Snake. Let me know your thoughts on all four of those.
Let's talk with Shadow Moses, right? I talk about globe trotting, and that was the last place I ever thought we would return, right? Like, that is wild to cut back to that. And then the way he cut in the flashbacks and the sounds and the looks of the first ever Metal Gear into that was really, really cool and super well done. And then you get into the Rex versus Ray fight, right? We just came hot off of an incredible showdown between Raiden and Vamp. We go through the corridors inside of Rex to get outside, then to showdown with Ray was really, really cool and something that's never been done in the game franchise so far through 1 through 4, of like having a true Metal Gear fight where you're in control of one of the Metal Gears. That's never happened. And that was a really cool scene. And then the ending of that of like, oh, see ya, bro, I got other things to do. And he's like on the end of the pier, and you're like, oh my God, like this is going to continue? This is crazy. And then to the microwave scene of like, that was a big moment, because it's funny, Blessing was with me right there, and I know Andy was watching, but like that whole sequence up to the microwave was insane, right? Like, we just got done fighting Screaming Mantis. Then all of a sudden, we get the showdown of like, we see everybody. The whole team is now involved, right? Like, the world is in peril. We're not going to make this happen. And it's the balance between Mei Ling out on the Navy ship, and they're getting blasted by metal rays, and like, it's about to be shooting off. Then you get inside and you look at Meryl and Johnny, and like, they're having this weird love sequence, but also this really dope Mr. and Mrs. Smith action sequence of just shooting people and like hugging each other and making out, doing the same thing. And then you flip on over and there's Raiden, who's like, hey, I got you, bro. Like, one last ride, let's go. And now all of a sudden he's got lightning. He's holding a sword in his mouth. And then Snake is fighting through microwaves about to explode from the inside, and he just makes it, right? And like, that was the moment, right?
Blows chunks at the end of it.
Like, he did it, right? And so, yeah, I mean, Tim, you and I talk about hype, and I know the whole team loves hype and excitement, but like, this dude figured out a way to really nail hype in all of his video games. Like, that moment, it felt like a movie. It felt like peak entertainment where you're on the edge of your seat and you're like, oh man, like, is he just going to die in this microwave? Because he totally could have done that. But the way it ended, yeah, all of those scenes were really, really special throughout Metal Gear Solid 4.
Well, I'm so, so excited that you finally got to experience those games. And for everybody else, the videos are all live now, youtube.com/kindoffunnyplays. You can watch the experience from the beginning of Mike and Barrett and Blessing and Kev and Tam, the whole crew playing through Metal Gear 1, 2, 3, and 4. I think that those are going to be some videos that I look back on for years to come, just like skimming through, finding those moments, because seeing you guys lose your mind at so many of the most iconic moments in video game history was so fun to see.
Yep.
Oh, man. But moving on from that, the Game Awards were last week. They were a big deal. They were a lot of fun. We reacted to them live here on twitch.tv/kindoffunnygames, youtube.com/kindoffunnygames. But we predicted all of the winners on this here Kind of Funny Games cast a couple days before that. And the results are in. Final scores. Blessing. 11 points. Andy, 11 points.
Oh, wow.
Tim Geddes, 11 points.
Oh, my no God. Way.
There was a perfect tie.
No
now,
way.
Now, here's the thing. Barrett wasn't officially playing on the show, but he
got negative 5 points.
No, see, it gets complicated because Barrett skipped a bunch of them. He only guessed 15, but he got 7 right of the 15. So we're not going to even talk about Barrett in this, but we skipped 6 categories. So we scored 24 out of 30. We skipped best esports event, coach, team, athlete, content creator, and best VR/AR.
Good. I got them all wrong.
There were only 5 categories that weren't guessed correctly by at least one of us, including Game of the Year. So
yeah, none of us would have guessed it takes 2.
This, of course, is from CNN, the amazing best friend out there that put this over on Reddit. So thank you so much for doing that all the time. And yeah, we would have never got it takes 2. What a crazy underdog moment there. Some bonus predictions here for which CNN did give tip Kudos. Of the hat awards.
Ah, nice.
All right. Now, I'm going to read them all and y'all can be the judge. And at the end of the day, I don't care.
I love these.
Tip of the hats. 2. Go to Blessing.
I'll take it.
Take them both. Cherish them.
1 goes to Andy.
Oh, bullshit. Come on.
And none go to me. Not a single one.
Wow.
Now, let me tell you what the bonus prediction tip of the hat points are for. Andy says, I'll beat the final Sekiro boss within 2 to 3 hours. He beat it in under 1 hour. Holy shit.
Tries.
So shout out to BonerMonger.com.
You actually beat it in 12 tries?
Yeah.
I thought you were joking.
No.
What the fuck? What's the name of the big fiery boss that you beat before that?
Demon of Hatred.
Demon of Hatred must have been like a training for that. Because like I was struggling so hard on that final boss fight.
Dude, it's different shows to different folks. Because I had people in my comments being like, Andy, you thought this guy was hard. Wait till you fight the final boss. Like, you're fucked. And then some people were like, really? I thought the final boss was a lot easier. So going into the final boss, we do the Twitch predictions. And Melissa with a Y and Tucker were like, Andy, you got this in less than 20. And I was like, y'all, no shot. Like, it took me close to 5 hours for Demon of Hatred. No fucking way. And they were like, Andy, you got this in less than 20. Trust me. So I told him to put the over-under at 35.5. 34 and a half for the over under. 12 attempts, baby. And
dude,
also,
Blessing. Because that has 4 phases to it.
Yeah.
Pretty
and
much.
One of them, Blessing, I jumped off the edge like really early in the fight. I didn't know you could jump off the cliff and die.
Mm-hmm.
So, like,
I did that a few times.
Basically, 11 tries, dude. I didn't even know. Like,
yeah. Check that one out.
So, that got Andy a tip of the hat there.
Thank you. Appreciate that.
Andy says, Tens, who's popular on TikTok and dating a content creator. Those were his reasonings. We'll win best esports athlete. Nope, simple one.
Crazy. So. How the fuck?
And then I said there will be something Insomniac, e.g., Ratchet DLC, Spider-Man coming to PC, new Spider-Man 2 trailer. Nope. Kimbo was wrong. On PS, I Love You, recorded on Tuesday the 7th, Blessing said we'll see Returnal DLC. Blessing said, we will not see Last of Us Factions. Okay. So he gets a point for that.
I'll take that. Yeah.
Congratulations.
This is a safe bet. It feels like a
it's going to happen someday. One. We're going to see Last of Us Factions at some point. And
we won't see the PS6. Like,
yeah, thanks.
And he also says we will see more Horizon Forbidden West gameplay.
Oh, we did, didn't we?
We did. We did. So you got there. There's those are the two bonus points that you got right.
Way to go, Bless.
Wait, I thought Andy got
those
two.
Those are your tips of the hat. I got one.
He did get one. He beat the final Sekiro boss within 2 to 3 hours.
Oh, but you got nothing for Horizon.
No, that was yours.
No.
Wait, I said we'll see Horizon.
Yeah.
Oh, I thought you said it. Okay.
I might have said Andy. Sorry. I meant Bless.
It's all good.
Yeah.
It's all good. Oh,
so that's hilarious. So there you have it, folks. I guess the winner's Blessing because of that, and second up is Andy because he's really good at Sekiro.
This continues.
I suck. Kind of Funny Games Daily Post Show on Wednesday the 8th. Barrett said there'll be a new BioShock tease. The Rock will be there, and Breath of the Wild 2 will get an official title. None of that happened. Andy said something from Bloodborne or Jedi Fallen Order 2. Those did not happen, although we did get some Star Wars with Eclipse.
Oh, that's right. That's right.
And then Blessing said we will see something about BioShock, and we did not. Yeah, it's so wild.
That's crazy. That's still wild to me that we got nothing on that.
After the Game Awards, I actually did talk to Jeff, and I was like, "Hey, so what was the announcement that you said was 2.5 years in the making?" And I forget what he said. I was very drunk.
God damn it, Bless! Good job.
I was very drunk when I asked that.
No useless.
That was the worst story I have ever heard. I'm not kind of funny. Story,
you drink a lot. You drink a lot during Game Awards night. You know.
You gotta be kidding me.
You're not joking. You.
I want to knock that serious. I asked him that.
I want to knock that mug of tea in your face right now.
You remember asking him that? You just don't remember.
I remember asking him. I don't remember what he said because he was also like, "Oh yeah, it was like he was going through some games in his head." I forget which one he landed on. Hold on, let me look. Let me look at all the games announced and maybe if I see it.
Can you set a time code up right now to Roger? Yeah. We gotta get this clipped out.
I hate you.
Oh my lord!
Tim say that's one of the worst stories I've ever heard.
Like that's such an interesting tidbit. Like I feel like having that knowledge would give us like a seed of something next year where it's like, well, last time you said this, it actually was this. Mm-hmm. Like we can predict something from that. No, we just have drunk Bless over here.
tag Jeff when you tweet it out and like maybe he'll respond.
No. Here's the thing, Bless. Speaking of all this, I want to talk about your adventures in LA. You went to the Game Awards. This is the first time we've sent somebody that wasn't Greg Miller down to the Game Awards to rep Kind of Funny. You did the damn thing. You got to hang out with future class people. You got to go see a tour of the new G4 studios. I want to hear it all. Where do you want to start?
I guess I can start with the Game Awards since that's what happened first, right? Like this was not only my first Game Awards, but it was my first, I guess, physical event that I've been to as part of Kind of Funny, like a big, like outside of like a small preview event. This is my first time going to something where there's like people and I'm like kind of repping the company in a really cool, fun way. And so with that, like that alone was pretty wild in itself. But then actually going to Game Awards and actually meeting people and talking to people, I met multiple best friends, you know, which surprised me a little bit because the Game Awards is very closed this year. Like it was invite only. They're keeping the numbers down. But with that, I think that there was still quite a few people that were able to make it out because, you know, people have their own content. And so like people like Nano does his own thing in terms of content creation. And so he was down there. I was able to meet him along with a few other people.
Wait, nanobiologist?
Nanobiologist, yeah.
He was at the Game Awards?
He was at the Game Awards. Yeah,
oh,
yeah.
Oh, fuck.
And he, like, introduced himself. He didn't even introduce himself. He was like, "Hey, Blessing, what's up?" And I was like, "Is that Nano?" Like, everybody has their masks on, so it's hard to, like, recognize people. But, like, I shook his hand or whatever, or, like, hugged him, and I was like, "Is that Nano?" And, like, you know, he had to peace out real quick. But I was like, "I'm pretty sure that was Nano." And then, sure enough, I saw him again later in the night, and I was like, "Oh, yeah, it is Nano. Holy cow."
He walks up on stage, presents an award.
He's like, "I could have been Nano. I don't know."
He's like, "Oh, maybe it's not him." But like, I met him. I met a lot of people, like a lot of people for the first time who, you know, like I either know from online or listen to their content or like, you know, I've either been a fan of or I read their writing. There's so many names that people will be like, "Oh yeah, I'm this person." I'm like, "Holy shit. I can't believe you're this person." And even let me back up a bit. Even before the Game Awards, I went to like a couple of like hangouts and mixers. And so there was like an Xbox mixer that I went to with like Paris and a lot of other folks. It was my first time meeting Paris, which was absolutely
That's
wild.
So crazy to think of. Yeah.
Yeah.
Insane.
First time meeting him in real life. He is way taller than I thought he was going to be. And he had a mustache, which threw me off for some reason.
Fuck yeah, he did. He looked great. Yeah. He had the mustache on our Halo review, and I was like, keep that.
Yeah, dude, he's looking good. I just love that you got to go to the Game Awards fresh off the 30 under 30. Like, that must have been like you riding this damn high straight through this thing, man. It's beautiful.
The first thing somebody said to me, like, when I got to the Xbox Mixer, there was like a person that was like leading people in. And they're like, hey, like, I'm XYZ. Oh, you're Blessing. Okay. Or no, I introduced myself. I was like, hey, I'm Blessing from Kind of Funny. And I was like, and she was like, hey, like, congrats on 30 under 30. And immediately I was like, oh my God, it's like, I can't believe people actually, like, you know, recognize me for a thing, which felt
should have started a ruckus at the airport and be like, you know who I am? Like,
TSA agent, I'm 30 under 30.
Yeah, as soon as I lost my Switch, I should have been like, oh, do you know who I am? I'm gonna find, you know. But yeah, I went to the Mixer, hung out with people. Again, met Paris for the first time, met like Sarah Bond for the first time and quite a few people. Phil Spencer remembered me and like got me a drink, which was super random and super awesome.
Hell yeah.
But that shit, like, that was the first thing I did, and that from the get-go like blew me away. And then right after that, like right next door, there was a different mixer for a different company. I can't remember which company it is, but it was a different company. Went to that one, and I was hanging out with like Lucy and Tam the whole time, pretty much. And as I was hanging out with Lucy and Tam, there are a few people that we would recognize, right? And like one of them was like, oh yeah, I think that's Chris Plant over there from Polygon. I was like, oh, Chris Plant from, like, he's on the Besties. Like, I know Chris Plant. Maybe I should go say what's up to him. And it's like right after I say that, Chris Plant walks over and he's like, hey, you're Blessing, right? And I'm like, what the fuck is happening? And he's like, oh yeah, Kind of Funny, whatever, whatever. And I'm like, oh dude, Chris Plant, I love you. I love your work. And I was able to say all that stuff. So all that shit was wild. Game Awards happens, and after Game Awards, well, Game Awards itself was dope as fuck to actually see in real life. I think for me,
how hard did you pop off for those Sonic trailers? Yeah. Like, the movie, but the game.
I by that point, I was already a little bit tired because it was going on for a while, but I popped off real hard for Persona at the very beginning, because that was as soon as I walked in, because that was toward the end of the pre-show, I believe. And you know, I get there as the pre-show's ending, sit down, and I'm sitting next to like Andrea and like Lauren and them. And like as soon as I sit down, Persona 4 comes on screen, and I start flipping out. And I'm sure like Adrian and them are like, what the fuck is going on with Bless? But I'm like, what the fuck is happening? I see Persona 4. What is this? And it was Ultimax, which is still exciting for me because I really want to play Ultimax on PS4. But yeah, like the actual production itself was super cool to see in real life. I'm so used to watching it streaming, and I've always thought that it was just made for streaming. I didn't know how the in real life experience would compare to the compared to watching it on a computer screen, just because, you know, this is the way we've consumed it, right? Most people who are watching the Game Awards are watching it via Twitch, or I've watched it on like Spike TV or whatever, wherever the Game Awards was a decade ago, and that's always how I've consumed it. Being in the audience, the theater that it's in, super impressive, super cool.
Microsoft Theater.
Yeah, nice. Microsoft Theater, dope. Off the chain. The production of it in person was off the chain. The sound, like, there was so much like good sound, you know what I mean? Like the bass, like when everything hit, it really hit in terms of how things sounded, and then also in terms of the decor and like the screen and how the screen would lift up to reveal the Game Awards orchestra, and they would play shit, and then the screen would come back down. All that shit was mind blowing in real life, to the point where, you know, afterwards, I was like, damn, that was a banger Game Awards. And I don't know if I loved it so much because of the content or because I was just here in person. I think it's probably half and half, because I look back at the content. I really like the content as well, right? Like, I did pop off for Sonic Frontiers. I was into the movie trailer. The special guests, like seeing Ming-Na Wen and like Simu Liu and like Joseph Ferris win and give a speech and all that stuff was super cool to see in real life. And the show itself, I just really enjoyed. I thought it was a really fun, awesome time to be there. But yeah, from there afterwards, hung out with people at after parties, where people, or after party like mixers, not really a party, it's more of like a hangout at a bar kind of thing. Talking to people, meeting so many people, met Anthony Carboni in real life, which
hell
was really
cool. Spider Boys, baby.
Yeah, I met the Spider Boys in real life, which is really fun. And I met like so many people. I can't even list them all because I'd be here. But like, that was really cool, really surreal, and like really humbling. Just because, like, again, I've been here for 2 years and I've not met anybody pretty much. And so like, you know, being able to be like, hey, like, I read your stories on KFGD, or hey, like, I've seen you on this, or I've listened to you, or whatever, was a really cool thing. The day after, I visited G4, and that was through the homies, Rihanna and Danny Pena, aka Godfrey, who people know, right? Both Rihanna and Godfrey actually work at G4, and they were able to pull me into, like, give me the office / studio tour, because it's a new facility, because G4 just launched. And that was also very surreal, just in terms of when I walk in, the first things first is they have, like, a team dedicated to, like, COVID testing. And so, like, I walk in, and it's me, Lucy, and Tam still. We walk in, like, we meet a guy. He's like, hey, you know, I'm going to give you guys your COVID test. Like, I'm part of the COVID testing team here at G4. And I was like, they have a whole team dedicated to COVID testing. That's wild, and that's really, really awesome.
Production is required, too, in anywhere. But, like, a production of a certain size, you have to do that.
Gotcha. And that makes a lot of sense, because a lot of people come in and out. Did that. Went through the offices. The offices look really cool. Like, they have in the lobby area, they have a gigantic NES controller that I have a picture of on my Instagram. If you scroll through my G4 pics, and the big ass controller is fully functional. Like, if you hit, like, the A or the B buttons, like, all that shit works, and you can actually play games with this gigantic ass NES controller, which is super dope. Got to go around, got to check out the studios, and, like, the actual, like, I forget if it's Studio A or Studio B, but one of them is a studio with, like, four different studio sets in it. And it's, like, where they have X-Play, it's where they have Attack of the Show and a couple of other shows. And I got to stand in and watch them do X-Play Live, and it was a few people. It was Gerard, the Completionist, interviewing some folks, and it was also Adam Sessler interviewing Iron Galaxy for their Brawl game, the Battle Royale game that they announced at the Game Awards. And, like, watching that was really awesome. Like, G4, just as an outlet, and, like, as a, you know, production, seems like they've really figured out, like, what the vision and voice of G4 is over the years, like, since they went away for a long time. And even, like, OG G4, I was a fan of, but I wouldn't describe, like, you know, original G4 as, like, you know, modern, buttoned up, like, games journalism / games media. Like, they existed in, like, 2008 and shit, right? And, like, I feel like the voice they had then was very, I don't know, like, not juvenile, but also not, like, super mature and buttoned up, in a way where watching them now and actually visiting the sets and meeting people, I'm like, man, you guys have this figured out, like, in the way that the hosts are diverse, right? Like, you got, not only do you have Adam Sessler, not only do you have Gerard, you have the Black Hokage, you have Iffy, you have Fiona, you have, like, such a good, like, such
Austin.
A good group. Austin Creed, right? Like, Golden you have such boy. A good group of hosts there. And the content, even though it is month two of G4, the new launch of G4, the content seems like it's really good and really thoughtful and really buttoned up in a way that is really impressive, especially in the way that they're adapting to streaming, right? Because I think the way they do it is that all their stuff, they're streaming to Twitch, and then the actual stuff that premieres on television are the edited down polished versions of that. And so I kind of got to, like, hang out, see them record that in real time, and then, like, meet some of the hosts there. And, like, again, it was super awesome. Like, I can't say enough good things about my time at G4.
Damn, they hired Austin before we could. Motherfuckers.
Motherfuckers, man.
God damn it.
I'm so jealous of you, man. I can't wait to see that facility one day in real life. And honestly, the Game Awards, like, that's something that I don't think I'm ever actually going to see in real life. And that pains me
really
to say. Yeah, just because I like reacting to it so much, you know? And
oh,
I like
do
kind
it,
of.
Man. It was
know,
an energy. Maybe it feels because it's the
red
first
carpet.
Year back.
You got to go to the Game Awards. You were stunting down on the red Thank carpet. You got to go to the Game Awards and do the same thing, bro.
Yeah, I don't know. I really do like reacting to content. I feel like the Game Awards is one of the most fun things to react to. So it's the push and pull of, like, one thing I love versus another thing I love. But yeah, being there, man, I'm so happy you got to go down there and experience that. Andy and Mike, one day I hope we'll get you guys down there too. Because, like, dude, good Lord, it just seems like such a party. Honestly, I'm more jealous of you just being able to hang out with people and drink with all these people you're talking about. Like, it's been too long.
I mean, that
long.
Was the better thing, honestly. Like, that was the better part of it. Like, being at the Game Awards was cool, but actually meeting people and, like, actually, like, being able to feed off people's energy and, like, talk to people and shit and, like, not, like, so I've interacted with like, Iffy and Fiona all the time on social media, and mm-hmm. I've done content with them, like, through, like, RTX or, like, Rooster Teeth, like, on-stream stuff, right? But because of work from home, it is you know, we come in, we sit down, we join a Discord call, we do the, you know, hour long show that we do, and then we say bye afterwards because there's not really an opportunity to pull aside and hang out with people. Actually getting to hang out with people is like it was awesome, just in the sense of what this has been in the last few years, people who I would have been able to chop it up with or hang out with and all that stuff.
Yeah, like Blessing basically went from like just no interaction, no like in-person interaction in 2 years of working at Kinda Funny, and your first sort of exposure to it all is the Game Awards, and checking out a studio like G4 and like seeing all that in action is always really, really neat. But that's, it is wild to think about that this is your first time doing that, because
yeah,
quarantine hit 2 months after you got hired. So it's really, really fucking cool.
Yeah. And I also do feel the thing in terms of reacting as well, because during Sonic, I was like, man, I wish I could be on content to talk about this Sonic thing, because I have so many thoughts regarding Sonic Frontiers. And even like during like by the end when they announced the Arc game, I forget what the full title is, but like I had so many thoughts. I was like, man, I really want to know what other people think about this thing right now, because I'm in the audience and I have like, I'm like, this looks cool, but what the fuck is this? Like, this looks different. And I wish I could have been like around y'all to bounce off of and be like, oh yeah, like, you know, the mechanics look cool, but this world looks, oh man, like, and have that, you know, reaction to it.
It wasn't that fun, Bless. It was fun.
It looked fun.
A blast. I went into the VR world.
It was a blast. It was dope. Yeah, Mike was in the metaverse. I ate pizza. It was great. We had a great time.
Did Mike have on his turtleneck during? I think I saw.
Oh yeah, of course, bro. Come on, we're the turtleneck boys.
We're the T boys.
Mike went through three wardrobe changes.
I did start willing Metal Gear into existence. I didn't get a nod of the cap to that one.
No,
unfortunately.
I love it. I love it so much.
I miss that.
Mike, do you have any final questions for Bless about his experience?
Yeah, Bless. I mean, I have a bunch. I want to focus more on the Game Awards itself, talking to you about that. Of course, I don't know, Tim, we haven't done the pre-show in a couple of years, like reacting to that. But if you remember, you know, Sydney Goodman started doing the pre-show, like red carpet walks. And that's what I want to ask Blessing first off, because you're coming hot off of a red carpet experience of like, what was that like, Bless? Did you see a lot of photos being taken? Were they doing interviews with people walking in the door? Or did it feel like, hey, we just went into the lobby, we started drinking, then we sat in our seats? Does he still do that?
Sadly, there wasn't really a red carpet experience at all. Yeah, it was straight to the lobby, into the seats. And like the thing that kind of sucks a little bit about the theater is that they don't let you take drinks into the theater. And so like I didn't even have enough time, because we got there a little late, just in terms of like if you wanted to watch the pre-show. Like I got there about the time of it starting. And so I didn't even have time to like get buy drinks or whatever before the show. Like I went into the show, I was sitting there, and I was like, man, I could be slightly less sober right now, you know what I mean? Like if I had like a few sips or something, you know. But there wasn't really an opportunity to take like red carpet photos at all, or like, you know, see the celebrities like walk in, because again, they're like Ming-Na Wen and like all these folks there, like Laura Bailey and all these folks were there. There wasn't really that at all, but there were the after parties that people would end up taking pictures together at anyway. But yeah, like sadly, I wish they had that, because yeah, I wanted that experience as well.
Being inside the venue then as well, of course, we know we're coming hot off of COVID. We still have a lot of regulations, and you could see everybody wearing masks kind of spread out as well. What did that feel like? Did it feel empty to you? Did it feel lifeless? Or did you feel like, oh, there is some energy here? People are clapping or getting excited. Or like when a music artist came on, did anybody stand up and start, you know, jiving it all and dancing, or did they just all sit down?
You could tell that it was at a lower capacity. Like there were so many seats that were open. I think people were fairly well like spread out, and like the amount of applause that I think you would expect for some big announcements just didn't get. Like it all felt like chill, like, you know, applause, almost like golf claps. And like, you know, that is that kind of the name of the game, right? Like that's kind of how it has to be, and I'm good with it being that, because if it was a full ass theater where everybody's shoulder to shoulder, I would feel way more uncomfortable in there.
There was a lot of canned laughter on our end. Plus,
was there?
Yeah.
Really?
Yeah.
Wait, are you serious? Mm-hmm. No way. Was there?
Mm-hmm.
Oh my god. Yeah, there wasn't really like any, you know, anything like that, right? There wasn't any, like, even laughter, I don't remember people laughing at any moment. So there being Kane laughter is really funny, actually.
Yeah, it was. Yep. It was
Greg,
very
Greg kept calling it out, and I was like, "Oh yeah, you're right."
Yeah, Greg broke the immersion for us, right? Because at first I didn't catch it. I was like, "Oh man, people are clapping, they're having a fun time." And Greg was like, "Oh man, it really ruins the atmosphere when they're putting this in." It's like, "Damn it, Greg! Like now I just lost it all. Like now it doesn't feel right."
Yeah, no, all the clapping, like at any moment where there was applause, it was very much like muted, like golf claps. I was like, "Oh yeah." Yeah.
Okay.
It was still fun.
Well, that's awesome. I'll go for it.
Yeah.
Mike.
One final question. When you left to the mixers afterwards, right? Was like Joseph Ferris walking around, shaking hands, walking with the award? Did you see award winners? Did you see a Tim Schafer in his cool suit? And we're like, "Yo, bro, great game on Psychonauts 2." Like, what was those mixers like? Did you notice kind of the higher end people there?
There were some folks there around, and also some, like, a lot of folks that weren't there, right? I think it's part of it is, like, where you go. Like, I was at the JW, which is, like, right next to the theater, and that's where a lot of people go. So I was hanging out there.
Not blessed. Just so you know.
What's up?
Welcome to the rest of your life. The JW is, it's the spot. Like, that's where you go. That is where the games industry just knows. Like, that's where you go to hang out after any of these events.
But, like, that was a fun time. And I, like, there were folks there, like, you know, Phil was there. Like Tim Schafer was there. I didn't see Tim Schafer, but I saw a guy that looked a lot like Tim Schafer. And as I was hanging out with somebody else who's like a journalist in the industry. And she saw the dude walk up, and I saw him, and I was like, "That looks a lot like Tim Schafer, but I don't think that's Tim Schafer." And then she says, "Oh, hey, Tim." And so I'm like, "Oh, that's probably Tim Schafer." And the dude like paused and was like, "Huh?" And she's like, "Oh, Tim's like, I'm this person." And he's like, "I'm not Tim Schafer." And I've never seen somebody so broken up.
Put her on blast right now. Put her on blast.
She felt so bad. I'm not saying her name, but she was so she felt so bad. But it was also really funny in real time to see, because I was about to make the same mistake. That was about to be me. I was about to be like, "Hey, are you Tim Schafer?" Because he looked just like him.
That's so funny.
But yeah,
have you not met Tim Schafer?
No, I've not met Tim Schafer.
That is insane. That man is at our office at least once a year, and like, it is not
that's
a small.
Really weird.
Like, he's just always there.
Yeah. That's really funny.
But I was there within like my first 2 weeks of working.
Yeah.
I also met like a couple folks from Naughty Dog who said that they listened to the podcast. And immediately as they said that, I was like, "All right, how often do you laugh at like the shit that we predict about Last of Us Factions and all this stuff?" And they're always like, "Oh no, it's all good. Like we enjoy hearing the theories and all that stuff." So even like that, those moments where like those were dudes who I didn't know personally. I didn't know before that moment, but it was really cool actually meeting developers in real life and being like, "Oh shit, like, you know, you listen to the content, I play your game. Like that's fucking wild that like we have that, you know, exchange in experience."
Dude, no, that's awesome. And honestly, that's kind of like how it goes. Like I remember being at the JW Marriott and running into a best friend that was and still does work at Respawn. And this was before Jedi Fallen Order was officially out. And he was just like, "Tim, you're going to love this game. Like, I know that I watched your content. I know you didn't really love the gameplay that they first showed. Like, trust me, like this game is awesome. And it's exactly what you've been talking about wanting." And he was so fucking right. But it's just so cool to have these moments of connection with people that are making these things that we love so much. And the fact that they're all, it's like the cycle where they're like, "We listen to you all day while we're making these games." It's just so cool to put a face to a name, you know?
Exactly. Yeah, my favorite was when somebody would say their name, and I'm like, "I reference you on KFGD all the time. Like, I know your work." Yeah, like, "I know your work. You work at The Verge, or you work at like the Axios. You work at this place. Like, I know who you are." Those were my favorite moments for sure, by far.
Well, that is awesome. I hope that you have many, many more of those moments in your future. Bless when we hopefully get back to events. Hopefully, E3 is a thing next year. Who knows where we'll be? But this is our final Gamescast of this year. Thank you all for rocking with us for another amazing year here on Kind of Funny Games. We appreciate you all. This is Andy's first full year on this show. So congratulations. You did it.
Thank you.
You did it. It was an amazing, amazing showing from you. I can't wait to keep you on next year. We're not going to switch up the Gamescast at all. I don't think. Going into it. So this might be like a...
I feel like we say that every time, and then January happens.
Yeah, you know what? It's always January that the changes happen, so you motherfuckers better not pull any fast ones,
okay?
I'm gonna
miss Mike, you know?
It was nice having you.
Mike, thank you so much for joining us. It's been great having you make some appearances on the show over the year as well. And Bless, of course, thank you for being such a great partner and killing it.
Hey, Tim. Yeah. You did a great job this year, Tim.
You did a great job.
You're a great leader for all of us. I will ask, though, because I know the audience is wondering...
because not everybody kind of keeps up with us every year. When are Game of the Year podcasts happening?
That's a great question. It'll be early 2022. Usually we found that we like to kind of have the break to be able to play a couple more games and really kind of get that whole year in there. So if you look at last year's early episodes of Gamescast, you can probably expect something similar next year. We'll probably do some Metacritic predictions. We'll probably do some predictions of announcements throughout the year. Look back, what's our Game of the Year, all that stuff. It's going to be a good time. Really excited. Always really love the first couple of Gamescast of the year. I feel like they really set the tone and cadence of what we're expecting from the year. So stay tuned for that. Let us know in the comments below what your favorite episode of the Kind of Funny Gamescast was this year. We appreciate you very much. And if you are a patreon.com/kindoffunnygames supporter, stay tuned for the final Bless Who of the Year. Till next time, I love you. Goodbye.